This is AgriPulse Open Mic. I'm your host, Jeff Nally. Our guest this week is Florian Schattenman, Chief Technology Officer for Cargill. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta. Learn more about Syngenta and our support of the U.S. farmer online at syngentaforag.com. AgriPulse Open Mic continues with Cargill's Florian Schattenman next. At Syngenta, we talk to U.S. farmers and growers every day to hear their concerns and help them meet their challenges. From research and development to create innovative products to digital solutions to reduce water use and create healthy soil, we work hand in hand with America's men and women who feed and power the world. Our highly skilled teams are the forefront of connecting technology to utilize mobile apps, aerial imagery, and other advances to enable farmers and growers to make smart application and buying decisions for their farms. When our farmers have a successful crop, we all benefit. The Syngenta team is proud to work alongside farmers to help them make the best decisions for their farm. Learn more about Syngenta and our support of the U.S. farmer online at syngentaforag.com. This is AgriPulse Open Mic. The nutritional demands of a younger generation of consumers is demanding innovation from the field to the fork. Florian Schattenman, Chief Technology Officer for Cargill, says artificial intelligence is helping farmers in the food industry improve their efforts both in sustainability and in better nutrition for a growing global population. Schattenman says there are some clear directives in consumer preferences.
So we see a demand really across the entire spectrum around more protein, more fibers, and so on. So you see some commonalities across. Then you have a new trend that really has picked up faster than we actually anticipated, and that is glucagon-like peptides or GLP-1 that really have now, more than 10% of U.S. adults are now have tried or are on GLP-1s, and that changes the nutritional profile. So that's another trend. And then we see specific trends for, let's say, the younger generation, Gen Z and so on, that is looks a lot into nostalgia and so on, where there are some differences. In terms of compared across the world, so you see a lot of focus on whole foods in Europe and so on. GLP-1 is much, it's behind in the rest of the world, but it's also gaining speed there. So there's a lot of different factors that play into this. Really excited. One area that I would like to highlight a little bit more is this idea of personalized nutrition that we see more and more, right? And I mentioned this a little bit in the beginning, but this kind of focus on specific effects and outcomes that consumers want.
How does this impact the farmer, the grower, and how does this impact the companies that Cargill collaborates with to deliver these products for this younger generation?
The farmer is always a vital part. In the end of the day, whatever we do, it starts with the farmer, raising an animal or growing crops. As we see trends that, for instance, fermentation is a great example, right? You see a lot of focus on fermentation. So fermentation is an old technology. Think of yogurt and kimchi, and of course, my favorite sauerkraut and so on. Those are old foods that have been made by a fermentation. Where this idea of fermentation is getting broadened now, and it allows us to make specific sweeteners and so on. That fermentation process still needs an agricultural input. So we work closely with the farmers to grow the right inputs for instance, corn and so on, that allows us then to have the right inputs for these types of processes. So it is one ecosystem, the same as healthy protein, right? So we have one ecosystem. We work closely with the farmers. We make sure that the farmer is in the know. And for us, the livelihood of the farmer is asking for it.
There is a MAHA movement that is speaking strongly against processed foods. How does Cargill and how do other members of the food production industry move with or stand against perhaps some of the claims that are being made by this group?
So we always have focused on creating healthy food. You know, processing is a very broad term. People, you know, want to make sure that their food is safe. So there are certain processes to make sure that there is no E. coli or whatever in your food. So there are processes to make sure that we have the right shelf life so people can consume this in a reasonable time frame. So we work closely across the food system to make sure that we provide healthy and nutritious food, and all of our R&D efforts are with that as a backdrop, really.
We should offer congratulations to Cargill. Fortune 2025's Change the World list. And this most recently, in 2026, the Big Innovation Award, the BIG Innovation Award. What are the works now, or what is the mission and processes at which Cargill is receiving such accolades?
Yeah, thank you. We're very excited about getting external recognition. It's really a recognition of the team that has done great things. The big award especially was for our sensible and leading use of artificial intelligence, right? So how do we make sure that we can use AI? We have been doing AI and advanced analytics for a long time, and we do this to optimize our processes and help everyone, including the farmers, make better decisions. But lately, we also have been using it to generate new ideas, generate new concepts. And we do this where the human is always at the center, and the human is always have sort of the final decision. But it allowed us to do create new ideas, and it created some really cool new processes. For instance, we have something called Carve, which is really a picture pixel analysis where we look at in a meat plant on. The dark pixels versus the light pixel, meaning dark pixels are meat, the white pixels are side stream. And so we can now optimize our process. We can train our workforce better to make sure that we get maximum yield. So that is all around sustainability and efficiency and more protein in our supply chain. So it's for things like that. But we also have, created some new label friendly texturizers and other technology. So it's product technology, it's process technology, it's artificial intelligence. The key is to be always looking ahead. And maybe the last thing, since it's a broad question, and I always love to give credit where it is. Cargill is typically working in an ecosystem. So, and we believe very strongly like this, that the entire food system, from the farmer, to the consumer, our customers, universities, national labs, we typically work closely together. Startups are a key part of our innovation story. So, great examples around that one. So that is really how we stay innovative in the world that we live in.
Do you find in this realm of innovation that both the goal that you're looking for and the need for sustainability go hand in hand?
Very much. Sustainability really is a key fundamental driver of what we do. It's typically it could be indirect or direct, but indirect, for instance, if you make your flock more productive, you higher yield means it's a more sustainable process, you know, less feed, less energy being used, less water being used. So all of those kind of things, crop innovation that deals with, you know, that where you make crops that have less water usage, all of these, sustainability is always a key part of it, and it typically plays exactly to the economics for the farmer too, right? So it's like a win-win.
With artificial intelligence, how is it speeding the process from discovery to commercialization of new foods and new solutions for consumers and for farmers?
So our approach with artificial intelligence, as, again, it says like always the human is in charge. So very important. But we looked at all the things we do in R&D. So you think of it from the discovery side, the deep science side, all the way to how we connect with our customers, but also the process innovation. And then we started to say like, okay, this is a fast moving world in artificial intelligence. You really have to make sure that you don't get too far over your skis, because what would be the leading technology today in 3 months may not be anymore. So with that as a backdrop, we decided on specific tasks and specific things that will help us accelerate. One was what I already mentioned is the idea generation. So let's say in the past we would come with a customer and we would sort of, you know, lead up to an innovation day 2 months out, a lot of planning, sticky notes, and you can all this, you can imagine how this works. Now we sit there, we have a pre-trained model, we come together, we prompt it together, and within minutes and so on, we get a lot of great ideas, in often 5-6 times as many ideas than we would have, if we were just like thinking, you know, just brainstorming back and forth. That is now a great starting point. Again, the human still comes in and tries to improve from there and build some prototypes. So that's that discovery part is getting much faster. Similar even on the sort of more deep science side, right? Where we can look and AI can already search the literature and see and all the stuff that was more mechanical gets now accelerated and helps it's like a power tool for our researchers, right? Other areas that also I mentioned this areas around process innovation, and then also like how do we make sure that Cargill, as a massive company, we have created an enormous amount of data, and there is this kind of like, if Cargill knew what Cargill knows, and so we also created a tool that allows us now to really have all this information, all this historical information that's unique data that is not available to the outside. We can now really harness that for our innovation. So, having said that, you still have to make sure that you adjust some of the processes. So there's still some work to be done. Because you want to make sure that the AI really creates that value and not creates another bottleneck somewhere else. But we're well on our way. Very excited what it can do and how it actually accelerates and helps with our researchers and developers how it supports them.
I noted three different trends that you outlined toward 2030. The first, the generative and agentic AI. Next generation fermentation, as you mentioned. And then the third, precision nutrition. Let's take those in order. When you see trends for generative and agentic AI, explain that, because you identify billions of dollars that could be developed from this one area alone.
AI overall has been around as well as in Cargill. So in terms of advanced analytics, I think the generative part is really exciting because it does give us these new ideas in a much tangible and much faster way. So it accelerates the discovery. So we see, and it gives us more ideas to choose from. Often the idea is to make sure that you have enough ideas so you can really prioritize and get to the best ones. I think the agentic will be very helpful as we basically can train certain agents to work with each other. So my AI agent talks to your AI agent kind of thing. And so that allows us to become a lot more effective, and it takes a lot of the more mundane work out of our people's lives, and they can focus really more on what's important. So I think that's where a lot of that value will come, and better ideas, faster ideas, and therefore product.
You have more than 30 years experience and over $2 billion invested in fermentation. Do you expect fermentation to open the door to new products that this new generation of consumers is calling for?
I think the most important thing around fermentation, it always has to be affordable, right? It has to be scalable. So we have to be able to really make sure that we can get a desired in ingredient at the right scale. We see that, I give you one example is the broadening of sweetener needs. People do not want to really move to natural, low-caloric, no-caloric sweeteners, and fermentation is just a great way to make those. Things like allulose, margaritite, and monk fruit, certain stevia ingredients and so on. So, fermentation is really a great way to, using a natural process to make more targeted ingredients that have a benefit that we strive for. So, what has held it back at times is the scalability, but we now have a long track record. We have now great examples out there, and we see that as a very efficient and helpful way to go forward.
So the dietary guidelines have just been offered from the U.S. government, but one area that you mentioned is not just a suggested nutrition, but precision nutrition for this next generation of consumers. How is it different? How is it the same?
So there's this maybe utopia, who knows, idea of precision fermentation. So you basically look at your own DNA and then you get exactly the right mix. I think that's far in the future at this stage. But what is coming more and more is that this idea that we eat something to get a certain benefit, that is becoming a lot more a lot more clear, a lot more specific. So we see things, I want to eat this food right now to get to get my energy, or I want to really do something for my digestive health system. I want to have, or I look at a specific ingredient that I want more of, like a protein or and a fiber and so on. So it's this idea that people just won't just eat just because I'm hungry and I need to eat something and I'm just going to go over there, actually looking for specific outcome. That can actually also include like something indulgent. So, I've had a great day and I need something that's indulgent, that's good for my soul. And so, I think it's a more deliberate approach. And so we have to keep that in mind and make sure that we have foods available that help support that lifestyle.
I appreciate one statement from your company that innovation is a habit, not a headline.
Absolutely. Innovation is a mindset. It really is. And it's a mindset and it's a team sport. That's maybe the other point. You have to have an always improve and always making things better approach and mindset to it. At the same time, it's also innovation is always done best, or it's really almost only possible when everybody's working together. That means inside the company, from the salespeople that touch the customers to the operations people to the R&D people to the marketing people, everybody, but also across the ecosystem, especially in an industry like ours, right, where between the startup company, between the pharma, between the customer, the consumer, everybody plays a role in our innovation ecosystem, and it's actually one of the most exciting parts. That's why I love my job, to be honest with you.
Let's focus on agriculture and the producer side for just a moment, if we can. In this future, in this satisfying the needs of this next generation of consumers, do you see farmers still producing and focusing on the bulk commodities, or will we be more specific, identity specific, as we develop foods for consumers?
The big commodities will always play a big role, and the same will be true on the animal protein side. But also, you could see more and more additional crops that are gaining, that are around today, but maybe more niche, that are gaining a little bit more prominence, like avocado or so. So I think it's going to be an evolution. In the end of the day, our consumers also need affordable food, and there are we have made great strides in our industry to make those large crops in a really efficient and effective way. So they won't go away, but I think we will experience a broadening too. That's where the crop innovation is going to come right back into the game.
So protein from fish, protein from chickens, from beef and swine, but protein from eggs. Do you see any particular area that is sustained for demand growth that agriculture will have to respond to?
Hard to say exactly how it plays out, but I would say all of the ones that you mentioned will continue to play a big role. Seafood has had really high growth rates, in the end of the day, I think the consumer, and it comes over to what we discussed before, variety, broadening of the options is a big deal. And so I think a lot of these protein sources will play a huge role going forward.
Do you see eggs specifically playing a greater role in satisfying the demand for protein?
Eggs continue to be on a roll. The eggs are experiencing we expect over 20% of growth over the next 10 years. They have a great protein amino acid profile. So they're really efficient and terrific protein for nutrition. So yes, absolutely.
Well, Florin, if there is demand increase for protein, and there is demand certainly growing for eggs, what role can science play in helping the poultry producer be more efficient and the end product, both sustainable and available for consumers?
Yeah, that's a great question. And we actually developed a really cool technology. We call it Gallium. And what it does is we allow the chicken farmer to take some samples of the chicken poop, basically. And then analyze the DNA and get a sense of the microbiome of the overall flock. We can then assess the health of the flock. And based on that, we can adjust the feed to make sure that the flock is as productive and as healthy as you can be. So as we learn some of the results, like this farmer in that area versus that farmer in a different location, we can then see by using over time how this microbiome is moving along, and we can use AI then to already predict which farmers need more attention than others and so on. So this is where AI, genetic analysis really, and a service model really help the overall poultry farmer to be as productive as possible.
What do you see on grocery store shelves or that's available for the online shopper? What products are going to be available in the next year, 3 years, 5 years for consumers that are not available today?
I could see products that have very beneficial proteins that we can make via fermentation will be available. I think in general, protein remains to be a highly indexed macronutrient. So we will have a lot more choices that includes different proteins. And I think anything around gut health will continue to gain a broader sense. Things that are maybe more in a supplement form today will probably be integrated into foods more and more. So those are probably some of the key trends that I can see.
How will Cargill change, and how will the companies that you collaborate with, how will those names change or those partners change?
Cargill never stays still. So we always look for, our innovation, which whom do we partner with. Hard to say specifics here, but we are closely working with a slew of startup companies. We're looking at new technologies. We're looking and partnering with our customers. So it's going to be an exciting world. It's hard to say the exact specifics, but really a great environment to be in.
Well, it is clear that Cargill is on the cutting edge of innovation with regard to food production and satisfying the demands for not only the consumer today, but the consumer of tomorrow. Florin Chatterman, we want to thank you for being with us on this edition of Open Mic. It is Open Mic, and sir, today you have the last word.
Thank you so much, Jeff, for the terrific discussion. Great questions. you said it really well. We are on the cutting edge. There is always something to address. There's always a way to make the world better, and we're in the middle of it, and we're going to do it in partnership with our ecosystem around our industry, and I'm really excited to be part of this, and hopefully this is not the last discussion. Thank you so much for having me on.
Our thanks to Florian Schattenman, Chief Technology Officer for Cargill, our guest this week on Open Mic. AgriPulse Open Mic is brought to you by Syngenta. Learn more about Syngenta and our support of the U.S. farmer online at syngentaforag.com. For AgriPulse, I'm Jeff Nally.